It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. And today, I have somebody who's just a darling. It's Tina Passanisi-Emig. And Tina is the Director of Customer Relations and, of course, for her father's note, heir apparent of royal papers. The nice thing is Tina and I go way back and have been friends for quite a while. And it's been so nice to see Tina really grow into a mover and a shaker and a woman of esteem and quite a bit of accomplishment. So today, Tina Passanisi-Emig, welcome to Cocktails and Conversation.
Well, thank you, Mo. I'm very gracious for this opportunity to be able to sit and have the opportunity to talk to you for an hour. I feel like at events and different places that I see you, it's hard to tackle you down because you know so many people. So I'm extremely gracious for this opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, you know, it's right. It's funny because whenever we get to see each other, it's always such in passing. And now with, you know, having Blair and Sam, you're chasing and, you know, being the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect, you know, the perfect daughter. It's hard to kind of catch up with you all the time. So let's take this hour to learn more about you. Okay?
Wonderful.
Let's start with you. Who is Tina Passanisi-Emig? I know you went to Notre Dame High School, and I didn't realize that till I was looking at your bio. Yeah, so tell me all about yourself. You're a St. Louis girl, so give me some facts.
So born and raised in St. Louis, grew up in the South County area. I did attend Notre Dame and the legacy of my grandmother and my aunts and my mom. Just kind of followed their trend and went on to Notre Dame. Had private education there and went on to Missouri State University. I still refer to it as Southwest Missouri State, Springfield, Missouri. Studied there too with my business of science and with a marketing emphasis. Teetered with getting a psychology degree and also did a stint of a minor in CIS. Wanted to go into computers and just...
Oh, I was going to say, what is CIS, you know?
Computer Information.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of those things I failed miserably in. Okay.
I tried. I gave it. I looked in my environment, and it wasn't a good fit for me and knew that business was going to be the route I wanted to take.
Well, especially with your family business. And were you already, you know, engaged and engrossed in the family business at that point, like at least in summers and such?
I was. I did. I had to work there in the summer. I had to work there after school every day. The only day I could get off were Fridays. Well, at the time, all my friends were working at car washes and waiting tables and doing things that looked much more appealing to me. I now appreciate the time that I had at the business.
Your dad had such foresight. He really did, you know, bringing you kids into the business.
He did. He wanted us all, you know, encouraged us to go out after college and get our own career path. And my brother did that. He was an accountant and went and we learned that he lost some valuable years in the business. So when I graduated, he did let me step into the business. But by no means did he hand us any position. It was all working different positions and learning the business.
Well, it's good. Tell us what Royal Paper is. I mean, I see the big trucks go by and here's what I always think. I go, somebody's getting a big load of toilet paper in some big in some big building because, you know, I know that, you know, that's the thing, that you're the supplier of all the paper products to so many commercial buildings.
We are. And from a surface level, I love to just tell people I sell toilet paper. Nothing glamorous, not what everyone went to college to do, but it is. We do more than that. We're a facility solutions provider. So we go in and, you know, we can push the brown boxes and the toilet paper and the towels, but we can go in and educate people as well and show them how to use the products and clean different environments and things. We started a superstore out in Maryland Heights in 2016 where it's one of a kind in the world, we're told. It's
really?
An unparalleled facility. 20,000 square feet. We have a service department in there. It's a showroom. It used to be a BMW dealership.
Okay.
And now we display all of our equipment in there. So we bring clients in there, and we also have an education room and different ways to show clients how to use products hands-on. The guys behind the counter, we're using the old central hardware. where they had the white coats.
Mm-hmm.
They're the blue shirt guys, the Royal Lab
mm-hmm.
team, and they go in and customers can ask questions to educated people to help them find the right solution and the right products.
I need to go there.
We'd love to have you out.
I need to go there. We'll have to go. Jim, we'll go, okay? We'll do kind of a hands-on day and learn what we need to do to get our house.
I like that idea.
You like that
yes,
idea?
Okay, very much
good.
So.
We'll go. We'll go do that and we'll learn.
That's
it's
perfect.
It's always good to learn.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And that's just it because it drives me nuts. Some of the things you think, oh, this should be so easy. Oh, for God's sake, you know? And so this is cool. So tell me, your dad's still in the business, right?
Yes, very involved. Runs the day-to-day operation.
Uh-huh.
Myself, along with my two brothers, were a big part of the family succession plan.
Mm-hmm.
We meet every other Monday morning at 7:30 to just try and absorb everything that my father has.
At 7:30, don't you remind them you have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old? 7:30, who needs to meet with your family at 7:30 in the morning, you know?
We're all pretty headstrong and want to get out and get the day started. So
I have
a very supportive husband that can get the children out the door as well. So
you do.
I know Adam. And
yes. Yes, I know that. I know that young man very well and adore him. I said, it's funny, Adam is Tina's husband, and we all called him Bubba as a kid. And like we were talking about this earlier, really nobody calls him Bubba anymore except just the old family members. But Adam, you look at him and I think, how did you become like responsible? And you're an adult and you're a wonderful husband and a fabulous father. You know, I mean, it's like, wow, Adam, you know, Adam Emick, this is great. You know, just a good guy, sweet guy, too. You know, so you're very lucky. You two ended up with the right partnership. You really did, because he got a good girl in you, too.
Well, that's very sweet. I couldn't agree with that more.
That's good.
I think,
yeah.
You know, we even each other out. He is
you do.
Definitely the calm side, and I have a more dominant personality, type A personality, but we even each other out, and it works really well.
And where'd you meet?
We met at college. Mm-hmm. I didn't call him Bubba, but I used to call him Emig, and then realized when I started dating him, you know, we were friends first, and I had to start calling him Adam.
Uh-huh. But,
what he was referred to in college. You always know if he was a high school friend of someone when they refer to him as Bubba.
Uh-huh,
a college friend when they refer to him as Emig. So.
Gosh darn. And so what made you decide to go to was it Southwest, right?
It was Southwest at the time. Missouri
right
State
now,
University
Missouri State now. What made you decide to go there?
My older brother, Matt, went there, and I kind of followed in his footsteps. He's 5 years older than me, so he was only there for a short time when I was there.
Uh-huh.
But just had gone down there and loved the environment. It was close enough to home to where I could still come home on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great reputation and just wanted to go somewhere where my family and I are very close. And I felt comfortable going there where he had been.
That's great. That's great. Well, and, you know, one of the things we ought to really talk about is you personally. Because, you know, you're still young enough to be able to guide and mentor other young women, you know, and because you're doing it all right now. You're being the super mom. We were talking before we came in here that here Tina gets up and she's working out at 4:30 in the morning. Like I sent her information last night and she was going to bed. It was 9:30 and she was going to bed already, Jim. You know?
It was 10:30.
I'm thinking, how do you ever even see the news at night? You know, I mean,
I stopped watching it.
Yeah. Well, isn't that funny? I mean, because, you know, and we're such night owls and here, but she's up at 4:30 in the morning working out.
That's tough to do on a daily basis, but you get used to it, I imagine.
Yeah, I guess so.
You train your body to do those things.
So at 4:30 in the morning, there isn't sun, though, is there?
No, there's not. You just have to watch out for the deer on the road heading to the gym.
Gosh. Do you do that every morning?
Adam and I actually switch off, so he wants to go some mornings, so we take turns going every other morning.
And you don't make the kids get up and go with you?
No, we do not, and we can't leave them home by themselves, so one of us
has to go. Sam could handle things.
They're still sleeping.
Yeah, but it is funny. So, okay, so your morning starts at 4:30 in the morning. Tell me how your day starts, okay, because you are one of those women now that's on the go doing all the extra things, I mean, that it takes to raise a family. And, you know, so tell me what a typical day is for you.
A typical day, I get up at 4:37 to be exact. I get up. I head. It just makes me feel better. It's closer to 5. Head to the gym and get back by 6 o'clock and get ready for the day. I get myself ready and then get the kids up.
Uh-huh.
We have them up by 6:30 and feed them breakfast. And we're all out the door by 7:15 on our way to our jobs. And the children are at their places.
Gee, many Christmas. I mean, I remember that when our kids were at St. Clair. And I'd think, okay, who's going to get them to school by 8 that day? You know what I mean? And Mike and I were both always much, much better at night. We're both very much night owls. So
sure.
It was always hard getting them, you know, and even making that decision of sending them to high school. We chose the public high school in town because I said, they'll never get to school on time if we have to have them there at 7:30. We'll never get them to school. Well, we were still at that point with the stables. We didn't have a barn manager yet. So we were still feeding horses in the morning. And
sure.
I said, there's never, you know, then we looked at Chaminade for Patrick thinking, well, Patrick could go to Chaminade because he could live there.
You know, we wouldn't get himself to school on
that
time.
Way the brothers would get him to school because we weren't going to be doing it. You know, it's funny. But so tell me, what would you tell someone now that's trying to do everything that you're doing? How would you give them some guidance? You know, what would you say is some of the non-blindsiding factors and some of the things that would really make sense that you would tell them to do?
I think I've surrounded myself with my girl tribe and a bunch of women. I work heavily in the commercial real estate market, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of women in that market doing the same thing that I'm doing. And we just go to lunch or we'll go to happy hour and just all lean on each other for what we're currently doing. And they all have children the same age. So surrounding myself with those women that are going through the same thing that I am
mm-hmm.
and trying to take advice from each other or just having someone to say, I'm having a bad day. I'm sure you've been through this before.
Mm-hmm.
Surrounding yourself with those right people that can help you through it.
And who are some of your girl tribe?
Some of my girl tribe, my friend Michelle Biederman, she's with CB Richard Ellis.
Okay.
She's worked her way up through the ranks. She started at entry-level administrative position and
mm-hmm.
now a property manager and doing side businesses, works for Scout and Seller, selling her own wine. She's doing the Rodan and Fields, and she also has a daughter the same age as mine at 2 years old.
Wow. So, and John Sheehan, that used to be at KMOX, just joined CBRE last week. So that's good. He just joined there.
There are a lot of great women within CB Richard Ellis.
Okay. And they, what do? They have like the big buildings, right?
Yes, it's all commercial. They manage all the buildings.
Okay, cool. Commercial okay, so give me another girl tribe.
Some of my other girl tribe, Suzanne Eilerman. She is a business owner for a janitorial contract.
Okay.
Her family business that she's taken over, she just had her third baby. So a woman trying to run a business and raise three girls.
Oh, my Lord.
As well.
My goodness. And, you know, and the nice thing is you can actually lean on each other. So
we
that's
can.
Important. That's important. You know, so if you were in college again right now, what would you change? What would be different knowing where your life is now?
It's hard to look back and want to change anything because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to dwell on the past. I look at those as opportunities of what built me and who I am
mm-hmm.
today.
Very positive. Isn't she positive? Yes. Just think that. That's so positive.
Yes, very much so.
Can't go back and change what I've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say that I would have maybe listened more and known that my parents are right, you know, not been so combative with them about things that they were just trying to help me along and
mm-hmm.
make me look back and realize that I didn't want to go work at the car wash. I wanted to spend my time at the company business, and I'm so thankful for those opportunities and that they pushed me, and it was not always easy. I'm a very strong-willed
No. Tina, strong-willed? No.
I was as a teenager as well, I'm sorry, to my parents. And
mm-hmm.
raising a daughter, that'll be a challenge. But just
you're going to get exactly what your parents had in Blair,
what they
you know?
Say.
Yeah, your mother's, you know, at all times it's going to be this little smile like, yeah, now you'll know what we're talking about. Now you'll know what we've been thinking about.
Kind of wanted all boys for that reason,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be interesting. It's already interesting to see the differences in my son and my daughter and how they gravitate towards boy things and girl things.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. So,
well, Blair knows she's pretty, though, too.
Oh.
You know, she knows that. So that kind of comes out all the time, you know. And Sam just seems so much, you know, like he's just like, whatever, you know.
He is. I mean, he's a boy. They're
yeah.
kind of just let it roll.
It does. It rolls. You know,
yeah.
I mean, boys, it's so much easier because They can fight you. They can argue with you. You know, you can tell them no, and 2 minutes later, it's finished. Girls, Now, I don't know with her being two, if you notice that yet. But I mean, with girls, they tend to harbor a little bit, you know.
A little bit more emotional.
Yeah, and think about it for 3 days, you know, before it's finally the mea culpas come out. Yeah.
Yes. I was surrounded by, you know, with two brothers growing up, I've got to see a lot of that.
So how's your dad?
He's doing well.
Good.
He's doing well. Like I said, he's still extremely involved in the business.
Yeah.
Loves it every day. One of the hardest workers I know.
Well, you guys have his work ethic. You know, I mean, I know you certainly do. You know, just in what you're doing, you could sit back and just, Adam could take care of everything and you could just go, I'll just be a stay-at-home mom. But, you know, I don't see that ever happening with you. Yeah.
That's not, and I mean, you have to do what's right for you, and that's just not what is right for me. Mm-hmm. I want my children to see that both of us play that role, and, you know, neither one's career is more important than the other. And
yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And are you going to send them, you know, you being a parochial girl, you're going to send them to Catholic school?
We've had that conversation a lot because we've both grown up with that. And I think the answer is yes. We just enjoy the community. We already attend church at St. Gerard. And
oh, I like St. Gerard. And they have good fish fries.
Oh,
they have really good fish fries. I'm all about who has the good fish fries on Friday. You know,
it is a popular one.
Yeah,
I know
it
that.
Is. I mean, and we don't even live on this side of the river, but I can tell you who has good fish fries.
Well, we'll have to have you over.
That
then.
Would be good. That would be
fish
good.
Fry.
Yeah. So you're thinking St. Gerard's for the kids?
We are. I think that's where my brothers both live within a couple miles of me, and my niece is ready to start kindergarten there, and all of their cousins are around the same age, and we'll go to school there. And
well, you know it how it is. You know, Catholic school, sometimes you don't have all the advantages that you have at a public school with all the state, you know, and the tax dollars. But the thing is, you do have people looking out for your kids at all times. You know,
sure.
There's always somebody. I mean, our kids couldn't sneeze without us knowing about it. You know, I mean, and that was especially good for our boys, you know, that we knew what was going on all the time. So, you know, and with Adam being at St. Peter and Paul, it makes sense that you guys would gravitate towards, you know, parochial schools. So St. Gerard's, start recruiting now, because, you know, you could have two new kids in the school, especially with Sam next year. So that'll be good. Yeah. Well, we're going to come back in a second, but I have Tina Passanisi Emig with Royal Papers here today on 590 The Fan, and this is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So this is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation, and we are back today with Tina Passanisi Emig, who is the director of customer relations at Royal Paper. She's really the heir apparent of the succession of what's going to continue to happen with the company. So, you know, Mr. Passanisi, I hope you're hearing me on that you really have a great girl here and that she's got so many opportunities to offer. But again, this is Maureen Moore at Cocktails and Conversation. And Tina, welcome back.
Thank you.
And, you know, let's kind of start this segment with, who are some of the people you really looked up to? Who are some of the people that you really wanted to emulate, you know, along the way?
First and foremost, it's my father. My father has taught me everything in the business world and life and where I started. He has brought me to where I am and given me so much opportunity. And I said earlier how he's never handed us anything. He's given us nothing but an opportunity. And I couldn't be more grateful for that, because being the owner's daughter and the boss's daughter, if you walked into an environment, you know, with all of his employees and that was the only hat that I wore, I wouldn't be very well respected.
Right.
So following his lead and just trying to absorb everything that he has in his head and the company that he's built, it has been a great role model for me.
How old is the company now?
The company is 70 years old, but under his leadership, it's been 30 years
that
he's been involved.
He's really grown it and expanded it, too.
He has. Interesting story about Royal. Royal actually burned down to the ground.
Really?
Inner city kids had started a fire back when it was owned by Villa Lighting, and they weren't going to rebuild, and my father rebuilt the company and has since expanded it into a chemical line and in different aspects.
Well, you think about that paper. What goes up faster in flames?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And then your dad bought it and said, okay, we're going to rebuild it and we'll start it over from scratch.
He did.
That is great. Well, and you think about that. What are some of your biggest, I mean, I know toilet paper. I mean, how many trucks do you have?
We have 11 trucks.
Okay. Because it seems like I see them going by and I think, oh, like I said, somebody's getting a lot of toilet paper today, you know?
I think once you recognize a truck, though, you almost see it anywhere, a name.
Yeah. And so you got 11 trucks. How many employees?
We have around 100 employees.
Oh, my goodness.
We're in St. Louis, our headquarters in the city. We're out in Westport. We have a location in Columbia as well as Kansas City and then sister companies in Springfield, Missouri and Arkansas as well.
Oh, my goodness. Your dad has been busy, hasn't he?
State of Missouri, yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, okay, your customer relations. So what does that mean?
That would be my official title. I actually manage a team of 4 inside customer service reps who are in there taking the orders every day, connecting with clients. And then I have my own book of business that I run, which is over $2 million worth of clients that I manage on my own.
So you're out there developing and gaining business as well. Okay.
Yes,
so you're out there. That's why you always look so pretty. Because
you
have to see her right now. I mean, you're size 4 probably, you know, and just built great. And I mean, just beautiful, beautiful outfit and the high stiletto heels. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I remember those days. I mean, I would never even try to wear those heels anymore. But you just look like you're ready to walk through Miss America.
Oh,
you know
you're
what I mean?
So uplifting. I should start my morning with you all the time.
You should. Of course, if we started our mornings together, it would be at 8 o'clock. We'd have donuts or gooey butter cake, and we'd have, you know, hot tea or coffee, and we wouldn't be working out. So it would be a different thing, and you'd look more like me sooner than later.
Oh, you know? You're a great person. You look wonderful. I just am always under the, you look good, you feel good, and then you present yourself well.
Well, you're presenting yourself very well.
That's very sweet.
You know, now, does everybody present like this at the office? I mean, is this still the old school where everybody's dressed to kill?
It is. You're still the traditional. All of the men wear their ties, whether they wear them when they leave the office. Who knows? But when they come into the office, they're still in suit and tie. We do not have dress down days. Because, again, with my father's philosophy that you act how you dress and the casual environment.
Well, your dad's a sharp dresser.
Yes.
Yes, he's a very sharp dresser. So I can see that. That's a great role model. You know, I mean, that's perfect. So you have 4 on your team. Who's on your team?
I have 2 different generation groups in my team, which is very interesting because I hear them bouncing ideas off each other. And it is very interesting to hear them, the younger generation, you know, telling the older generation to Google things and learn things from that. And I think the older generation with their wealth of knowledge and business experience can certainly give that down to the younger generation as well.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people, and Jim, you'll agree with this, I'm sure, a lot of people think the older generation really doesn't have that much to offer anymore because everything's all this digital and it's all this social media and it's all this fast and furious stuff. But really, the older generation is the wisdom. I would take that every day, the wisdom and the experience. What about you, Jim?
Absolutely.
See, yeah,
you knew. Would. No, what you knew back then, you'd be a lot better off.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly it. You know, that wisdom and that
and
is
loyalty.
Always so great. Loyalty,
I feel like
yeah.
They're very loyal.
Yeah. Have your people been with you a long time?
We have. We have a lot of 30-plus years employees that have
oh my
been
gosh.
There, which is unheard of these days.
Yeah.
And it goes to say a lot about my father, but as well as the company and the people that we've hired.
And you're in a business that's not going away. Let's face it. You know what I mean? Charmin can say anything now and they can do anything because it's like, it doesn't matter. You need the toilet paper. So everybody knows that, you know?
But everybody wants to be in our business as well. We're, you know, finding ourselves competing with Staples and Amazon and the big box stores. And
you are. Okay.
We're self-relevant in the marketplace.
So what do you offer differently than if people were buying from Amazon?
We offer the service. That's why we opened the superstore. I thought my dad was crazy when he wanted to build brick and mortar when everybody's going to online. And we do the service side of it and the supercenter and the education, or, you know, Staples and Amazon maybe pushing brown boxes. And I am an Amazon user as a full-time working mom. I can order something and it shows up at my door and it's great. But it doesn't come with the education process that a lot of our products need.
Yeah. I mean, because beyond toilet paper, what do you have? Tell me 10 products. Tell me 10 products right now.
We inventory over $4 million worth of inventory.
Oh, my goodness,
Tina. We have everything from your big ride-on street sweeper scrubbers to your toilet bowl cleaner and
your Windex.
You have street
sweepers?
We do. You can come in and ride them in our super center.
That's so cool. I wonder how that would work out at the farm. You know,
be your next photo shoot on that.
That would be cool. We could do something like that and do it out at the farm with the horses kind of looking... Kind of going, what the heck is that going by, you know?
Might be a little industrial for out there, but we can try, yes.
So you have street, I would not have thought of that. I mean, I was thinking gallon containers of different cleaners, you know, so tell me, yeah, that's a breadth of a whole different aspect of the company.
It's a lot of opportunity and solutions when you go into an end user. I mean, we can certainly sell anywhere. I said I found my niche in the real estate market, but we can go in anywhere and provide that service.
So it's paper towels, it's
paper towels,
chemicals,
toilet paper, Windex,
cleaning, any
cleaning chemicals, toilet bowl cleaner. We go in and service the equipment. So like you get a planned maintenance program on your car, we can do that on your equipment as well that you're using to clean the building with. And
well, Mr. Passanisi, have you created something cool and neat and different? You know, that is so neat. Right, Jim?
Absolutely true. That sounds awesome.
Don't you love it how I just keep you on your toes over there?
Yeah. I am ready to go.
You are. You are ready to go all the time. You know?
You don't know who you're going to have in the toilet paper girl in the studio, right?
Yeah, but this is good because people don't think of it, and they don't understand it, and they don't think about it at all. So do you like the paper towels, or do you guys do any? You don't do any of the electric hand dryers and stuff, do you?
We can access them. We don't. I mean, certainly we work for Georgia Pacific and Kimberly-Clark,
right.
Those types of manufacturers that have products out there and can market against all the germs that a hand dryer would create and noise. And so I can go out and certainly educate people on why they don't want to use hand dryers.
Uh-huh.
I almost say this industry has ruined me. If you go in and look at like a bulk soap system and know how much bacteria is in not a closed soap system.
I never thought about that.
It is tested.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
So is there a company still around that's called Brown Paper?
Not that I'm aware of.
My father, God rest his soul, and he passed away when he was 39, but he worked for a company called Brown Paper, which was, I think, the parent company was Nibroc, N-I-B-R-O-C.
I've heard of Nibroc.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They actually created the paper towel.
Mm-hmm. They're a manufacturer.
Okay.
Nibroc.
So anyway, they patented the paper towel. And so way, way back when, Arthur Scharf, and it was Smith Scharf. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Arthur Scharf says to me one day when I was at St. Louis U and we were building Chaffetz Arena, Arthur says, "You're Paul Heyman's daughter?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, my gosh, for 6 months he took me under his wing." And he said, "He is who decided that we would get to market and represent what was now the paper towel because created and patented the paper towel." Because your dad made Smith Scharf because he gave us the opportunity to sell the paper towel. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
Interesting.
I know, it was so weird because I'm thinking, I remember like we always had these blue paper towels at home, you know, cartons of them, you know. But my dad died at 39. I was 7, you know.
Oh.
And so, you know, I had no idea that he had been the one that, and Arthur said, he took me around and taught me how to sell and taught me what to do. And he gave us the opportunity to be the distributor in the St. Louis market, he said, for us to be able to build the whole paper towel sales force. I said, you got to be kidding me. And it was Nibroc. Yeah,
yes,
Nibroc was the parent company.
I'm aware of the name.
Isn't
Very
that wild?
I didn't know you had such a connection to toilet paper as well.
I do.
Towels.
Toilet paper and paper towels. It's all about that, babe, you know.
We can bring you on.
But I can tell the story. I can tell the story and I can walk the walk, but that's about it. But I certainly can never look like you.
Oh, stop it.
You know, it's so nice. So tell me, okay, so you've got these gals that work for you. They're all women, right, that
Actually,
work for you?
Actually, I just hired my first male.
Really? How'd that go? Yeah. How'd you decide that?
He actually worked with Sprint.
Okay.
He was very helpful. You know, everyone comes in angry at a Sprint store. So if you can handle those types of customers when you're upset with your phone, then you can certainly handle.
That's interesting, isn't it, Jim? Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that.
Oh, yes. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You get a little frustrated with your phone sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting when our clients come in, they say, "Excuse me, what's your name?" He says they're always kind of perplexed that there's a male on the other line.
Uh-huh.
Three women and a male. And
Okay, and so they are all inside help.
They
are. But you are the one that's having the breakfast and the lunch and wooing everybody and getting them to come on board. Outside.
Yes, myself alone. We have 23 sales reps out there
on the street.
Only two women, myself and another one.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty male-dominant industry.
How do you deal with that, being a male-dominant industry?
You just go in and you have to, you know, my father always would tell me, maybe being a woman will get you your first appointment, but going in and knowing something is going to get you your second appointment. So being educated and being able to provide the solutions. And
where'd your dad go to school?
He went to SLU.
Yes. I know. I knew that. I knew that. That was just kind of my free SLU, you know, plug because of me being a SLU alum. So that's good. And we have our 200th anniversary for St. Louis U. We're Saddleback Chocolates. And I should say we're drinking today. What are you drinking?
I am having a vodka and club soda with a splash of cranberry.
Okay, very good. And I'm having an Arnold Palmer in honor of this being the PGA week.
Yeah, good choice.
I'm having iced tea, lemonade, and gin. I call it my 19th hole. I don't even know if it's really a drink, but I drink that. You know, but that's so cool because St. Louis U is having their 200th anniversary. And Saddleback Chocolates is doing all the chocolates for the 200th anniversary.
Oh, very
cool. Yeah, see? So, yeah.
There's always
that constant connection.
With SLU.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a good backer of SLU. He's a good alum of SLU. You know, but it's that Jesuit education. And it's that Catholic education that you've had that's been ingrained in you. So, you know, and it's a good work ethic, you know, because it's always for others.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I couldn't agree with that
Good
more,
for your yes. dad. You yeah. tell him I said hello, okay? And tell him, well, we'll just have him listen to your show, and he'll have to just kind of smile. He'll smile wryly when he kind of hears St. Louis U and me, you know. But
he will appreciate that. Yeah. He likes to say, between the U-High where he went to high school
and
university. The only schools in town.
He's a SLU boy through and through.
Boy,
yeah, he's a SLU boy. I mean, don't you think that at some point that's where Sam will go?
I know that Adam considered going there. I know he chose Elkhoff being on the other side of the river, and he considered it. So who knows? Who knows what his future will hold? I hope that.
Well, Adam was a brainiac, too. You know, people didn't understand that, you know, because Adam was always so carefree and footloose and carefree. But Adam was a brainiac, you know, and he still is. You know, who's he working for now?
He's at Mercy Financial.
I know. I was one of his references.
Right. Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah.
They're very supportive of him having a family and a wife that works and just
they understand
a great environment for him.
Really enjoyed it there. Yeah, he's good. He is a brainiac. So, okay, so let's get back to this. So you're working in a male-dominated field because really everybody else that's out there, you know, hawking all of the products, they're pretty much men, aren't they?
They are. I mean, a lot of our end users are janitorial group and a lot of the men looked upon to go in and use the products and show them how to demo. And I've certainly proven that I can do that just as the same as they can.
Mm-hmm. Well, with 2 million in coverage, I would think so. Yeah, I think that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's also why I kind of lean towards the real estate market, commercial real estate, just because there's a lot of women in that industry. Mm-hmm. So
what's your biggest building? Can you say? And don't if you can't. You know, don't if you can't. I mean, I kind of know who they are, but I don't want to say. But I mean, I kind of recognize some of them sometimes.
I will just say that I feel fortunate to work with some of the bigger names, the Cushman Wakefield, CBRE, even, you know, from Gershman, Collier's. There's some of the big names in St. Louis.
I know. In some of those buildings where I've worked, I've known that it's been your toilet paper and paper products that have been in there. Yeah. So that's been good.
And
so
I didn't want to leave Jones Lang LaSalle out because I know that Anders, your woman you had on, are in that building.
They are. They're in that building in Caddy Corner from the Peabody Energy building. So that's cool at Gateway, you know. And that was Mike's building before I was there with Peabody. So that was cool. But we have Tina Passanisi Emig, and she is the Director of Customer Relations for Royal Paper, but it's Royal Labs too. I mean, I think you have to think about all the other aspects that they have now with the larger expansion of the company. Tina is an old friend married to a very dear friend, and so I have Tina Passanisi Emig, the mom of Blair and the mother of Sam. And the cool thing is she's the wonderful wife of Adam Emig. So we'll be back in a second with Cocktails and Conversation, and again, this is Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan.
So raise your glass if you are young.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Okay, so we are back. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. And the nice thing about today is we have Tina Passanisi-Emig with us. She's the Director of Customer Relations at Royal Paper, but she's more than that. She's a friend. She's a wonderful mom. She's doing it. She's following our mantra, which is, you know, strong women, may we know them, may we be them, may we raise them. Well, Blair will be strong. I can guarantee you that. And may we praise them. And here we're here today to praise Tina because she is a very accomplished woman. You know, younger, she's in that mid-30s range, so she's still looking great and still pulling off everything as a super mom and a super wife. But you know what? Let's talk about your mom, because your mom had a lot to do with raising such a nice woman. So let's talk about your mom a little.
She did. My mother, what a hardworking woman. My father and her separated, you know, we were young children, so mm-hmm. she had three young children to take care of and go to work every day and take care of us. And she couldn't be more of a kind-hearted person. She would give you the shirt off her back.
Mm-hmm.
She is just the sweetest woman. They say it takes a village to raise a family, and I certainly depend on her and need her to be successful in my own field. And if I need to call her and ask her to pick the kids up after school, she will do that, take them home to get them ready. And then she also gives Adam and I time, which is very important, that we need maybe once a month that we can get out with each other
right.
on the weekends.
Right.
And with 11 grandchildren, she's finding her time divided on the weekends, still working full-time herself on all
of
the
children. Oh, my God, your mom's still working full-time? Where's she working?
She's at Express Scripts.
She is, okay.
She is.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize she was still working full-time.
She is, yes.
God, love her. You know, you come from a work ethic background on both sides. You know, that's that DNA, which is so great, you know, and which you and Adam are passing on to the kids.
In my eyes, there's no other way. I mean, you mm-hmm. can either sit and mope around about it or just get up and do your job and feel good about yourself.
That's great. That's great. Well, your mom is a lovely woman. I've only met her on a few occasions, but she's a lovely woman. And she really had something to do. She had a lot to do with raising you three kids, and she was it, raising you three kids. I know that. Because you were, how old were you when they separated?
I was only around 2 years old.
Yeah.
And I could never imagine raising three children, that on my own.
Yeah.
I can barely do it now with the help of Adam, and he's very hands-on, so.
And where did Adam take Sam the other day when I was talking to you?
Oh, they were out hitting golf balls.
So how does Sam hit golf balls at the age of four?
He's actually pretty athletic. I'm not sure he got a lot of that from me, but he does a pretty good job with the balls, and he loves soccer already. I know
mm-hmm.
the Emig family.
Well, the soccer. Emig family, that's just it. The DNA in the Emig family, you know, is sports. And, you know, here my Mike Moore was with, he was best friends with Bob, you know, the kid's grandfather. And Bob Emig and Mike were playing baseball together, you know, when they were in 5 or 6 years old. You know,
oh,
I mean, those two were playing baseball together. So
then I didn't realize they knew each other so young.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And then they played football together, you know, I mean. And so I don't know if Mike was in Bob and Camille's wedding, but Camille and Bob were in our wedding. And Adam and known as Bubba, Adam and Aaron were our servers in our wedding. So they were probably like 10 and 12 or 11 and 12. I can't think of what the age difference is, but I will tell you, I was crying at the altar, and my Uncle Tom was marrying us, and I was crying, and I was looking for a handkerchief, you know, and there's Camille and Bob both up there as readers for the, you know, so they're both on the altar, and Adam and Aaron then, and so Adam pulls a tissue out of his pocket and gives me a tissue out of his pocket. It's like, oh, what a sweet boy.
It wasn't his actions. He's not a great verbalizer, but doing things like that
oh,
is just
yeah.
so sweet.
It was so sweet. You know, the only kicker was that at the reception, Adam said, hey, Mo, you know that tissue I gave you? I go, oh, thank you, honey. He goes, I already used it.
Oh. He's honest, too.
I know. I'm like, Baba, you used it? He goes, well, wasn't that bad. It did what you needed. He goes, I'm sorry about the snot. I'm like, oh, thank you so much, Adam, you know, on my wedding day. You
something
know?
Used, something bar. Is that
yes,
part of
I
it?
Yes, I got to use it all. Poor Matthew, because their youngest brother, Matthew was such a crazy, high-strung kid. I wouldn't let Matthew come to the wedding. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I was always so thankful when Matthew let me come to his wedding because I'm like, I didn't let you come to mine, you know. But he was like 6 or 7 at the time. And it's like, there's no way in hell that kid's coming to my
wedding. I hear all these stories and he seems the most calm now.
He's the most calm now, but he was a holy terror back then, you know. And he is. He's the most calm now and just so thoughtful and, you know, just so kind. You know, all three of those Emmy boys are just the best kids, you know. But it's funny watching them all grow up. And again, I said, that's the thing, to watch and look at Adam now thinking, he's responsible. He's grown up. He's a father. He's a wonderful husband. It's like, wow, and a great provider. It's like, geez, what? How did Adam turn out like that? You know, because Adam is, you know, we always just kind of looked at Adam like, there goes Adam, you know, because he was just so laid back. You never knew what he was going to do, you know.
Yeah, well,
but, and that's a lot to do with his parents, you know, and Camille was so laid back. I mean, he's Camille all the way, you know.
Yes, 100%.
He's Camille all the way, just relaxed and just like, nothing bothers him. Everything rolls right off his back. And I bet that's how.
Very true.
I bet that's exactly how one of your kids are going to end up. Who do you think is going to end up more like Adam?
I think Blair is.
Really?
I mean, she's only 2, so that's still to be determined. However, she seems to have more of that laid back, and Sam seems to be a little more high-strung like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think all those qualities are good.
Yeah, they are.
As long as you use them to the right way.
And as I tell you, good people have to continue to have good children so that we have a good society. So you need to have more children.
Oh, goodness.
Now, let me just tell you right now, Tina Emig, that you and Adam have to have more kids, okay?
Okay, you're going to come over and help with us.
I will. If you name one after me, I will, okay?
Starting to learn to outsource. So.
Yeah, that's good. Delegate.
Yes.
Well, and you know what? Hand them some chocolate tonight. They'll be thrilled. You know, they'll love their Saddleback chocolates, trains, and stuff. That'll be good for them, you
They're
know?
They're beautiful. I'm excited to show them. They will not be eating that whole train, though. I can
tell
you that much.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that would send them right to the moon and back, you know? It really will. So, you know, we talked about your mom and how gracious and how wonderful and you know, how thoughtful she is as a woman, too. I mean, you know, I know that about her. So that, you know, you've got to think all the time how lucky and how fortunate to have two parents with such great DNA to pass on, you know.
Absolutely. And there are some days I just sit there and you think when everything's going right, of course, and you just wonder, why am I so lucky and why do I have this wonderful background and opportunities and these two wonderful children? How did I get so lucky is the way I have to look at it.
By the grace of God.
Absolutely.
By the grace of God. So tell me, what are some things you want to talk about as far as, you know, you've received a lot of accolades and a lot of awards that you've been very quiet about. Why don't you tell me some of those accolades and some of the awards and some of the recognition you've received, you know, as a leader, as a businesswoman, you know, in your business? You know, tell me some of those.
So I have received just a few awards, not as the woman of the, you were one of the distinctive women at the MAC, which is amazing award to achieve. And but I have
that was great. I had to buy it. No, I'm kidding. I didn't buy it.
But I just think people should be recognized, and I you said I've been quiet about it, and I do sit back and I just try and do my job every day, and then you win these awards and feel really good about yourself, and it is very uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then look back and realize you may have deserved them. I'm part of an association called BOMA, which is the Building Owners and Managers Association.
Okay,
it's in the real estate market. A lot of property managers and vendors are part of it, and one of the highest awards you can receive with that organization is the Todd Arnold Award.
What's it called?
Todd Arnold Award.
Todd Arnold Award. Okay. Okay.
It's an award they give out to either you can be a vendor partner or a property manager.
Okay.
Anyone within the association can receive this award just of their involvement, getting involved and jumping on committees and co-chairing and running things.
So that's the basis of it, is really coming in and sharing your experience and being communal about it.
And being involved.
Because
you can go to any association, but if you go to it and just sit there at the luncheons and leave, then you don't use your network. And I truly believe that you go in and go in head first and get involved in those types of associations.
Okay.
The other one is IREM. It's the Institute of Real Estate Management. And they have an awards ceremony where I won the Outstanding Vendor Award, a good vendor partner to all, and that is actually voted for by the property managers who are my clients. So that felt very good to be recognized by them for the hard work.
So they're acknowledging that you're doing the work, you're earning the business, and you're keeping the business because you're sustaining it with your knowledge and your support and customer service.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which always feels good to be recognized by the, mm-hmm. by the customers.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
The people that we serve. And then within Royal, I actually won Salesperson of the Year. And as I mentioned before, we have 23 sales reps.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of 30-year sales reps there, two of which are women, myself and another. And I, in 2016, was the Salesperson of the Year.
And it's not because your daddy gave it to you.
It is not. It's
That's exactly
voted
it.
For, you know, our vice president of sales would be the person to make that mm-hmm. decision and had nothing to do with my father.
So. Are you going to be VP of sales someday?
We'll see. I
Jim, what do you think?
I love that.
I enjoy the role on the sales side of it.
Uh-huh.
I enjoy the marketing role. I enjoy mm-hmm. connecting people and networking. And there's so many networks out there, and just going into a room full of people I don't know and meeting new faces mm-hmm. and seeing what they do.
So tell me about the philanthropy side, because, you know, Cabinet Howard and I were talking about you last week.
Yeah.
We kind of got on a roll about you, you know, I mean, we were talking yes. about Kids Smart, and then all of a sudden I said, you know, so do you know Tina Emig? And she's like, oh yeah, she's on the board. We just started talking about you. It's like, okay, we got to have her on, because it just made sense. But tell me what you're doing with Kids Smart, because especially as you're rolling up to the beginning of a year.
Sure. Well, with Kids Smart, I wanted to do something that I could actually physically see a change. I was working with Friends of Kids with Cancer, and while it felt good to see the kids and the smiles mm-hmm. on their face, I felt like I'm not going to cure cancer.
Mm-hmm.
With Kids Smart, it's something so simple and so basic to go in and bring these kids a pencil or a backpack and just see the smiles on their face, something that we all take for granted every day.
Mm-hmm.
I met their director and president, Jennifer Miller, who is amazing and so warm and brought me into the organization, and I am now on the board with them, and mm-hmm. the secretary is my position there, and meeting wonderful people like Cabinet is...
So as secretary, do you kind of like rewrite the notes to see if anybody's recognizing what's really going on? I mean, do you kind of help, you know, kind of indulge yourself and write different things in the notes that really aren't true?
No, I actually try to go into the meetings and,
yeah.
and absorb what's
yeah.
being said. And if Jennifer or someone on the staff were to miss a point, I just try and get that point across.
Okay. See, this is a trick. Try this. You know, write a few separate lines in there that, and see how many people come up and go, I didn't remember that.
I
because it's kind of neat. And then you go, oh, good. I'm glad to see you're reading this.
To
you
see
know?
If anyone's listening.
See if
or,
anybody's
yeah,
listening
if
and reading.
Making
the,
a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I remember because didn't we do something in conjunction with the Emig Foundation in honor of Bob Emig? Didn't we do something for Kids Smart a few years ago that was in addition? Or I'm trying to think if we did or not.
They did. So they collected soccer balls and some of the sports
okay.
equipment and things mm-hmm. that they had given to Kids Smart, you know, because they have a free store where the teachers can go in and shop for these school supplies and to have the extra sporting equipment and things like that.
Okay.
So they did partner and make some donations there and monetary donations as well.
And who are the receptors? I mean, is it certain schools, inner city schools, you know, public, private, independent? Who actually can go in there?
It is. So it's local. It's all in Missouri here. There's 160 plus schools that they serve mm-hmm. right now. It is a lot of the inner city schools that they go in, and now they're pushing into the schools where the teachers had to come out to the free store. Now they have a truck that they're going in and pushing into these classrooms, coming in with a big box of backpacks for these students.
Great.
And
great.
It's amazing that, you know, I take it for granted. My son goes to preschool and comes home and has drawn 10 different pictures and all this different paper, and these children don't even have the paper to make all these pictures.
So does Royal donate anything?
We are involved.
Mm-hmm.
We've get involved in a few different organizations. Mm-hmm. Kids Smart is one that they support. We're doing a building drive right now for Kids Smart for back to school
mm-hmm.
at our super center and then at our location and our headquarters on the Hill.
That is great. That is great. So what else do you want to tell us about Tina Passanisi Emig that we didn't talk about today? Think about that. What are some things that you know that we didn't get to really praise you about or recognize as far as your you know, your experience at this point, your wisdom, what kind of wisdom can you share with people at this point?
I think looking back, you never know the people that you cross coming up, whether you're 15, 16, 20, or who you're working for. You never know where your paths are going to cross again, especially in St. Louis. It's a big, small town. And just have respect for yourself and have respect for those that you're meeting. And what you're putting out there on social media and things, I know that you're invincible at a teenage year. You don't
right.
think that this can help you or affect you in your business life, but it truly can. And I think that's the advice that I want to leave to some of these younger up-and-coming women, that you just never know who you're going to work for or who's going to work for you.
Never blow up a bridge, you know? I mean, you know, sure. Keep those bridges intact. Right, Jim? Keep all those bridges intact.
Absolutely yeah. True.
You know, I used to always say, oh, I can blow it up. I can always take a helicopter back over, you know? And I don't know what I was smoking at that point. You know, I mean, you know, when you think about saying something like that. But, you know, you're right. St. Louis is a very, you know, small town. It's a great town. But, you know, people, there's always a third degree of connection, you know, where other places it's 6 degrees. And St. Louis is a great town to not to just grow up in, but, you know, the St. Louis region. I mean, what am I saying, St. Louis? I'm not even a St. Louisan. I mean, you know, we grew up.
I think you have enough connections in St. Louis.
Yeah, you know, on both sides of the river. But the thing is, it's nice to be able to, you know, join together and do things for each other and for the community and recognize that we all have opportunities that really can make a difference. You know, and as a woman and as a leader and, you know, I say that as a Missouri Athletic Club, you know, leader of distinction or woman of distinction, you know, that was a great award to receive. And it's funny when you look at all the people around you that surround you and you think, wow, I'm amazed that I'm even in those groups. I'm amazed I'm even in those groups. But you have a definite mark that you're making, and you're making it not just at home. You're making it at work, you know, in philanthropy, in your community. Upcoming at St. Gerard's, you know, probably, you know, room mom of the year and the whole nine yards. It'll be fun. And pretty soon Adam will be working the fish fries, you know.
He might. We might have to sign him on.
We'll have to sign him up for the fish
fries.
We share
roles, yeah. So I'm sure.
He could be in charge of the beer tent.
I'm sure he could handle that.
He could handle that, and he could tell people exactly how much to take in so that, you know, that they can actually have that work best with their cod. So I want to say thank you to you, Tina, you know, because this has been wonderful having you here today. And it's fun because, you know, having an old friend in that really I've been privileged to see grow and have a family and grow into such a nice woman. It's very much a privilege. So today at Cocktails and Conversation, it's Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan. And I want to just say thanks one more time to Tina Passanisi-Emig at Royal Paper. But more than that, I want to say, you know, women, strong women, may we know them, may we be them, may we raise them, and may we praise them. So, you know what? Next drink's on me, okay?
No, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Okay, have the rest of a good weekend, okay?
Right.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Maureen. That will put a wrap on this week's show. Remember, you can catch every podcast of Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on the 590 The Fan Cocktails and Conversation webpage. The show will air every Friday at noon. And if you miss it, you can hear a replay on Saturday at noon or on Sunday at 7 a.m. Have a great day, everyone.